Hello, welcome. We're going to move on for our corporate governance lectures. And now we just finished officers, and we're going to jump into employees. Remember last time we talked about officers, we talked about who they were, their roles, their obligations, their liabilities. And who do you have in as officers? Excuse me. You have the chief executive officer, the principal officer. Remember, the officers are hired and tasked and overseen by the board of directors. The chief officer is the chief executive officer. They're the officer who basically runs the corporation on behalf of the board of directors, as they're tasked to do. Then you have the president. President is much more ceremonial. They do take over the role of chief executive officer if you don't have one. But presidents today are pretty much ceremonial. They do whatever tasks are asked of them by the chief executive officer. You have the vice presidents, which generally operate a division or a special tasking of a chief executive officer. They can be directed to do certain missions by the board of directors always, because the board of directors, as you remember, are the policy-making body for the corporation. You have the chief financial officer, who handles all the financial dealings of the corporations, writes the financial reports, and handles all the accountants and all the books of the corporation. Then you have the treasurer. The treasurer, just like the president, will handle the role of the chief executive officer. If you don't have a chief executive officer, the treasurer will handle all the roles of the chief financial officer if you don't have one of those. And they handle, as we said, all the tasks that the chief financial officer delegates to them. They're the people who generally sign the checks. They're the people who keep the books, things of that nature, as tasked by the chief financial officer. They also generally assist out in the creation of the financial reports of the corporation. And lastly, you have a secretary. A secretary is the communications person within the corporation, one of the most important roles in the corporation, because they interface with the board a lot, with the board of directors, particularly with the chairman of the board. They help the chairman of the board put together the agenda, and they send out all the notices to the shareholders. They send out the notices to the other board members for the board meetings. They do the communications for the corporation. They are an indispensable member because they're the mouthpiece for the corporation, and they're also the depository of all records and of all communications, and a very critical aspect of that. And remember, these individuals have a fiduciary duty to the corporation itself. If they breach that fiduciary duty, they could be held accountable. If they don't, they're pretty much protected by the business judgment rules we discussed before. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about employees and agents. Yes, officers are employees because they get a salary, they get a paycheck, but they're also in the hierarchy and administration of the corporation. Employees generally are not. They're hired to do a job for the corporation, they can be and tend to be more permanent on that than just an agent. And we're going to talk about those tonight, which are basically retained for a temporary type of circumstance. But let's get into it and see what we can discuss. First and foremost is our definitions. What is employment? Black's Law Dictionary defines employment as an act of employing or state of being employed, or that which engages or occupies, or that which consumes time or attention, an occupation, profession, trade, post, or business. So that's a pretty broad definition. But a simple definition of employment is an act to engage one's service in return for payment. You have to be paid to be an employee. Otherwise, you're a volunteer. Okay, you have to get remuneration for your services. You do the work, they pay you. That's employment. And under the labor law, the definition of employment is a relationship where someone is permitted or suffered to work. That does not contain the aspect of being paid, because you have to be paid to be an employee. So that definition, even though it's in the labor law, is somewhat incomplete. I think they do that on purpose because they want to capture more and more people. But the corporation's employees have been held to include all individuals who are employees of the corporation, including unionized, that means collectively bargained for, employees, non-unionized, that means management confidential employees, employees that are not collectively bargained for, part-time employees, full-time employees, or individuals engaged on contract to provide employment services or sales to the corporation. It's a wide gambit. Employees are the people who work for and get paid for by the employee, by the corporation, on a quasi-permanent basis. That doesn't mean that they have to stay there forever, obviously, because employment is not slavery. It's an agreement. It's a contract between both parties. Employees are the persons who actually perform the day-to-day work of the corporation under the oversight of the corporate officers. They are selected and removed by the corporate officers, whereas the officers are selected and removed by the board of directors. The employees are employed by the officers. That's a delegation that the board of directors gives to the officers of their power. Traditionally, because they're a policy-making board, the board of directors can hire and fire anyone within the corporation who's employed by it, but they generally delegate that power to the officers to hire the other employees and to fire them and oversee them. Employees, like officers, are personally responsible for any torts or crimes they commit. That is Employment Law 101. If you commit a crime or a tort while you are an employee, you're personally responsible. Your corporation might be too, because if they didn't oversee you, if they didn't provide you sufficient oversight, you might be responsible. The corporation might be responsible too. The primary difference between an employee and an officer of the corporation is that the employee is an individual who merely provides professional or manual work to the corporation, while an officer has, in addition to that, a position of authority in the corporation's hierarchy. You know, one of the major distinctions is the officers are hired by the board of directors directly, whereas, as we said, employees are retained by the officers. So you have a double play combination there. Take your Stavers to Chance, whereby you have the board of directors hire the officers and the officers hire the employees. Who are the employees and what do they do? Employees of the corporation are agents hired and paid by the corporation to perform its functions as directed by the officers. The officers tell them what to do and they do it. And they oversee the employees. The officers oversee the employees. And their employer is the corporation itself. It's not the officer. They work for and are overseen by the officer, but they're employees of the corporation. Remember that corporation is an artificial person under the law, and their duty of loyalty, duty of care, goes to the corporation itself. Employees are hired and maybe discharged by the corporation's officers, and the corporation, just like with officers, is liable for the actions of its employees. That's the one, the corporate form itself, the person, the corporate person, that artificial person under the law is responsible for the activities of the corporation. That's why both the board of directors and the officers have to provide oversight over employees. Employees are agents, just like officers are agents, but not every agent is an employee. They don't have to be an employee is a more permanent status than an agent. They all are obviously under the law of agency. The corporation has to operate under the law of agency because it's an artificial person under the law. And it needs people that work for it to do its bidding. Employees of the corporation have a permanent status. They're paid regular wages or salaries by the corporation for the work and duties. Agents are not. Agents are much more temporary, much more seasonal type of thing than an employee. Agents, on the other hand, is a broad term, as we said. It's encompassing any individual who works even temporarily for the corporation's interest. And that's not an employee. An employee is a regular agent for them. Employees, as we said, are agents, but not all agents are employees. The roles, duties of employees, corporate employees, although the corporate employees are employees of the corporation, as we said, they're hired by the corporate officers and perform the roles and duties that the corporate officers assign them. Although the directors assign the roles and duties of the officers assign the role and duty to the employees, and they provide oversight for them. Now, can the board of directors provide oversight? Sure they can. They pass resolutions regarding on how employees must conduct themselves or ways that they must operate. And the officers have to follow that in their oversight of the employees. And obviously the employees have to follow that rule too, whatever it is. The day-to-day oversight of the employee is conducted by the officer and who they hire and their performance of them is monitored by the officers. The employees only provide delegated management roles. Yes, the employees can manage other employees. You do have a hierarchy throughout the course of a corporation. So you do have managers who are just employees and not officers, but those are duties prescribed to them by the officer. So will an employee who's not an officer be able to manage other employees? Sure they can, but they do that under the oversight and direction of the officer, who in turn does it over the oversight and direction of the board of directors. And it's a delegated role. It's delegated by the officers to that employee, and just like the role of overseeing the employees is delegated by the board of directors to the officers. As we said, all employees are agents, and agency law governs the law of corporations because it's got to operate through agents. They don't have shielded protection. The fact that a person is acting on behalf of a corporation does not serve as a shield from liability. As an employee, if they breach their fiduciary duty, guess what? They're liable. They have a fiduciary duty just like an officer. Now, employees, just like officers, just like directors, will be indemnified for things that they do on behalf of the corporation. That means the corporate, if they turn around and have to expend money on behalf of the corporation, they get that reimbursed. If they turn around and are making a purchase on behalf of the corporation, they get that reimbursed. All of that is called indemnification, and employees are eligible for that indemnification on behalf of the corporation. Now, what about agents? We talked about employees, and it's pretty simple, straightforward. What about agents? Agents under the law of agency, it is a entity that provides a task for a principal. The principal in this case is the corporation itself. It's the corporate personhood. Black's Law Dictionary defines the term agency to be a fiduciary relationship created by an express or implied contract or by law in which one party, the agent, may act on behalf of another party, the principal, and bind the other party by words or actions. Well, because it is an artificial person under the law, the corporation must act through agents, whether they be an employee or an officer or a director. All of them have agency status. Well, if you want to do a one-time deal, you want to bring in someone to do work for the corporation for a very limited purpose, you can hire an agent, and they can do specialized things on behalf of the corporation for a payment, and that's generally what the way that agency works. But realize that all of these entities, all of the corporations, tasks have to be performed by agents because it's an artificial person under the law, and it needs human beings, these other agents, to be able to do its work. Agency law governs under these principles. You have a principal who is the corporation, and you have the agent, which is the person who is doing these tasks. And they have a fiduciary duty to the corporation itself. That's where all these agency and fiduciary duties flow from, is the law of agency. And agents can be individuals as opposed to the employees who are regularly working for the corporation. This is more of an ad hoc basis. Just like it is a temporary role. Unlike an employee who holds a permanent status by means of a regular paid salary or by wages of the corporation, an agency relationship of an agent alone tends to be more of a task that's related by task, a simple assignment, if you will, to a individual person. And generally they get paid for that. Don't have to. You can be a volunteer agent, believe it or not. But generally, they do get paid because why would somebody generally do it for a corporation unless they are getting paid? That authority that they have as an agent is directed by the person for the corporation that hires them on behalf of the corporation. So the chief executive officer hires an agent to do a task. That chief executive officer will outline that. But remember, the principal is always the corporation. The fact that they work through an officer or other employee doesn't mean that that the corporation's not the principal, because they always are. And just like an employee or an officer or a director, agents too are eligible for indemnification. They can get reimbursed for expenses that they have. If they are doing something on behalf of the corporation will pay for it out of indemnification. Now, once again, we have our chart. This chart really kind of helps you. And I would advise you to take a look at it if you get an opportunity. It tells you the elements of a corporation. What parts does it have? First and foremost, it has the shareholders. Those are the people who buy the shares in the corporation, who elect the board of directors. Remember corporate governance, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but corporate governance is a Republican representative form of government. When we say Republican, we're not talking about Republican or Democrat. Republican is defined as representative. The shareholders don't manage the corporation. They elect people to manage the corporation the same way that we as citizens send people to our government by electing them as representatives to make policy for us. The shareholders send the board of directors to the corporation to make policy on behalf of the corporation. You have the board of directors. They are the policy-making entity. They're elected by the board. They're elected by the shareholders, and they serve for a term there. All this is outlined in this chart. They turn around and serve for a term, and they make the policy by holding meetings and passing resolutions during those board meetings. You have the officers, which we just discussed in our previous lectures, who are the people who actually execute the policies of the board of directors. They are the individuals that get hired by the board of directors to do specific roles. You have a chief executive officer, you have a president, you have vice presidents, you have chief financial officer, treasurer, and secretary. Those are the traditional officers of the corporation. Officers and directors are entitled to be empowered by a corporation under the Business Corporation Law. Article 7 of the Business Corporation specifically denotes what the duties of the directors are up here, and they're specified. They denote the duties of the officers as they are set forth here, and the board of directors can hire any officer that it wants, entitle them whatever they want under Articles 715 of the Business Corporation Law. And lastly, you have employees and agents that we just discussed. Those are the people who work for the corporation, who do the bidding of the and are overseen and directed by the officers of the corporation. It is a hierarchy here. Remember, just like the sovereignty in the American system of government vests in the people with respect to a corporation, the sovereignty basically vests in the shareholders, because they're the ones who elect the board of directors and who are the policy-making entity. The board of directors is a policy-making entity as elected by the shareholders. They're the ultimate owners of the corporation. That's it for employees, and we'll go on to our next unit shortly. And thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.